We used to think about having the talk with our kids, you know, the birds and the bees, as if it was a one-time occurrence. Joel Fitzpatrick says that's not how it works today.
It's 20 conversations, so it's really inviting them in to see that sex and sexuality is something much more than just the act, and it's something much more beautiful, and it's designed to be something that's beautiful.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Are you ready as a parent, equipped as a parent, to have a series of ongoing conversations with your children throughout their growing up years about sex and sexuality? We're going to talk about how you do that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I've got to tell you guys a story. You remember a book that Dennis Rainey wrote years ago called Interviewing Your Daughter's Date. You remember that?
Yeah, it had something to do with a baseball bat.
There was a baseball bat involved. That's right. Questions for dads to ask the young man who was going to take your daughter out. Well, we recorded some radio programs about that after he had written the book. And all of a sudden, we were getting flooded with emails and letters from moms who were saying, okay, that's great, but here's my problem. I got a cute 15-year-old son, and he is getting inundated with text messages and pictures from 15-year-old girls. That led to the book Aggressive Girls, Clueless Boys that Dennis wrote as a follow-up, because the reality is, in a wired, connected internet world, there's a dynamic going on with our adolescent sons and daughters around the issue of sexuality. You can teach your kids about the birds and the bees when they're young. In the elementary years, you feel like this is great, and they get it, and they want to honor God. And then they get into middle school, and it feels like somebody just undammed the river.
Oh,
here it comes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I remember asking my oldest when he was in middle school. So what is that, 12 and a half, 13?
14.
I said to him one day, he was on the wrestling team, and I said, hey, CJ, how many of your buddies on the wrestling team look at pornography? He goes, everybody. I go, everybody? He goes, everybody. I go, how often? Every day. Where? In our locker room.
Yeah.
Every day. On their phones. This was years ago, but that's right. The world we now live in.
I overheard a conversation with our sons. The oldest one was schooling and mentoring his younger brother, not knowing that I was in the other room and I could hear this, say, now listen, these girls are going to come up and they're going to be grinding on you at the dance. And I'm thinking, What are you talking about? I didn't even hear the rest of the conversation to hear what the advice was, but that's all I remember. Yeah, so there's a lot more to learn.
She came running to me and said, you need to go in there and talk to him about this.
It's one thing as parents to say, okay, we're going to have a proactive strategy for introducing our kids to the issue of sex and making sure they understand it and understand it biblically and all of that. You can do all of that, but come adolescence, it's a whole different ball game. And if you think, well, we had that talk, so I guess our kids are okay, you are in serious trouble because your kids are getting bombarded every day. I remember one of my sons who said, here's what happened to me today. This girl was giving me a hug, and she just whispered in my ear, I want to have sex with you. Mm-hmm. And he's 14 years old. And I go, so... What do you do with that as a 14-year-old?
Yeah. Bob, well, you never had that happen?
Never. We have got joining us again today our friends Jessica Thompson and Joel Fitzpatrick. Guys, welcome back.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Jessica and Joel are brother and sister. They've written a book together called Mom, Dad, What's Sex? And you wrote this because you're both parents.
Yeah.
Right. And you both got kids who are swimming in this stuff, and you're coming to each other saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Right.
And we also both grew up in a Christian home. And what we always heard, pretty much what we only heard, was don't have sex. Sex is wrong before you're married. Don't have sex. You want to remain pure.
Right.
That whole stay pure sort of a thing. I mean, the truth of the matter is you're born broken.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Right. So, you know, when you tell your kids you want to remain pure, they were never pure to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's a wrong starting point.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've talked to our parents about it. So everybody's like, oh, what about their parents are listening? They know we've talked about it. We both grew up in a home where all we heard was don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we wanted to do for our kids, and hopefully what we want to do for other people and their families, is build a better view of sexuality, build a better view of identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do we get our identity from? The culture's telling us right now, you get your identity from your sexuality. And we wanted to build a better way to think about sexuality and a better way to think about identity.
Jessica, your mom would not mind us sharing this because she's shared it. She has shared that she was promiscuous as a young woman.
Right.
So given that as her background, you can understand why as a mom, her dominant message was, this will mess you up. Don't do this.
Right.
And I think
right.
as parents, we have a fear if our kids know that we did that, we shouldn't tell them because it might make them think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Listen, you know, your kids, if they're thinking about having sex, they're not going to be like, huh, I wonder if my parents were promiscuous and they think it's okay. That's not the thought on their mind, okay? If what we're building in them is just this sort of know only, like only know, right? So it's the whole thing. And my mom talks about this a lot. What if, and Paul talks about it in the Bible, like the very thing that the law tells you not to do, you want to do it, right? So if what you hear all the time is like, you can't have peanut butter for a year, what's the first thing you think? I want to eat some peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
So if all you're hearing is never have sex, you're like, oh, something must be really cool about that. Like if I'm walking down the street and there's a person's lawn and it, on their lawn, there's a sign that says keep off the grass. Do you know what I want to do? Go jump on the grass.
This is saying a lot about your personality. Right? Yeah.
and quite frankly, take a picture of myself on their grass next to their sign and post it on Instagram.
That's right.
So if all we're doing is building this culture of no, we're missing out on so much. And honestly, it kind of skews our kids' perception of sex.
Right.
God's answer, God's view of sex is not just no. Like his is like, yes. And here are the boundaries.
Okay, I'm your 13-year-old son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've heard you say no.
A bald 13-year-old son.
Hey, wait. Yeah. I mean, come
it's
on. Dude.
Be a stretch
let's
for
make
me.
This, let's make this a little bit more realistic.
What just happened here? That's the coolest 13-year-old son you've ever seen. I shaved my head on purpose. Okay, I'm posing a question. I've heard mom and dad say no. I know what you think. I don't know why.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm that parent out there saying, would you please tell me, what's this conversation look like for me to tell my 13, 14, 15-year-old? What's the answer to why not?
Well, so my answer with my kids wasn't to lead with no. My answer with my kids was to say, like, let's actually talk about what the Bible says about this. Let's spend time.
Okay, and they
over
like,
months.
Oh, why do we have to bring the Bible into it?
Yeah, well, and the answer is because this is what's good and true. And this is what's right.
And if our kids are going to be annoyed with us, they're going to be. So let them be annoyed that we talk about Jesus too much.
Right.
It's good.
The way that you actually build the culture of your house goes a long way to shaping that receptiveness. If the only time you bring up the Bible is to beat your kids over the head with it because they've done something wrong, then I think your kids are more apt to say, ugh, why do we always have to talk about the Bible? Whereas if you're not just looking for things they're doing wrong, but you're actually looking for ways in which they're like being built into the image of Christ. And you're pointing those things out and saying like, good, that's fantastic. Or you're saying things like, hey, look at the way God created the world. Isn't that fantastic? You know, isn't that beautiful? Don't you think that God really is interested in beauty? You don't have to say, okay, we're going to sit down now at the table, take out your Bibles, turn to Genesis 1, and we're going to unpack this passage together and talk about sexuality.
Okay, right? Dad, I'm still wondering why not.
Yeah, because sex is a picture of something that's very beautiful. Sex is actually not just about the act. Sex is about something different. The Apostle Paul, and I think all throughout the Bible, we see the imagery of Christ and his church being portrayed as a marriage. In fact, that's what we see in Revelation, right? In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, what goes on there? It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's this consummation, right? The intimacy that we have in the act of sex is not just about physical pleasure. It's about something far greater than that. It's about a relationship that we're building that actually points us to the intimacy that we have with our Savior. There's an old analogy. If your kid's holding a knife, there's two ways to go about taking that knife away. You can run up and grab it out of your kid's hand, which then makes the knife mystical, right? Or you can give them something better. You can give them something more beautiful for them to grab onto. And that's the conversation. You ask me, what would I say? Well, it's 20 conversations. So if you want to have 20 conversations, like, I'm glad to have that. But
you don't want that.
No, you don't. I already talk enough as it is. But it's really inviting them in to see that sex and sexuality is something much more than just the act. And it's something much more beautiful, and it's designed to be something that's beautiful.
And how would you get into that conversation? Would you offer it up if you do have a past that you've been promiscuous? Would you offer that, or would you wait for your kids to bring it up? And what if they never bring it up? Is that something that it comes out at the dinner table?
I think that you need to know your kids. Okay, yeah. So this is not a one-size-fits-all answer. You need to know the way your different kids operate. So for my daughter, when she talked to me about it, and she was, seven, my boys never did that. So you need to know your kids. You need to know how to communicate with them. You need to know when to communicate with them. Most of all, you need to be available to communicate with them, you know? So put down your phone and look at them in the face. I'm talking to myself right there. So it isn't just a one-time conversation, but you have to find ways to bring it up if they're not. And if they are bringing it up, then you need to sit down and stop what you're doing, no matter what it is. I mean, there's not a lot that's going to be more important than talking to them about this.
You know, they're bombarded, like we've said. It's all around them at school. It's around them. It's what their friends are talking about. It's in the wrestling locker room where everybody's looking at porn. It's aggressive girls with boys. It's aggressive boys with girls. This is the reality they're living in. And so I think as parents, we just have to be aware it's a jungle. It's a battle that they're going into every day. And if we think, well, we had that conversation 6 months ago, so I'm sure they're fine. No, you got to be having this conversation the 20 times because they're facing it daily in the world that they're living in.
And not even just like, I can hear parents thinking like in their mind right now, their kids go to public school. So listen, please don't think that because you homeschool, your kids are not exposed to porn.
Right.
Please don't think that because you have the circle from Disney on your internet, your kids can't find porn. They can. And I've heard story after story after story of parents who've put safeguards on their computers, of parents who only homeschool, whose kids only go to church. I've heard story after story after story of parents finding out that their kids have seen pornography on the computer.
Let's get into this a little bit because parents today are facing something that no other generation has faced, and that is the social media world.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that, and how can we help our kids? Let's talk to the parents because they're desperate for answers.
Right. And I think we're going to keep going back to the same thing over and over and over again. We need to give our kids something better than a like on social media.
Right.
We need to give them something that is key to their identity.
What is that?
It's the love of God. It's the love of God for sinners. And so what builds their identity right now is whether or not they get, 200 likes on their Instagram photo. And you need to be building their identity, telling them there's something better than that. There's something lasting for you. So again, it's not just grabbing the knife out of their hand. It's let me replace that knife with something that's more beautiful, and that's the love of God. Nothing beats it.
You know, if I was having a conversation with a teenager today or a preteen, I think I might say, would you someday like to have a smartphone? And they go, yeah, I can't wait till I can have a smartphone. And I said, so if let's say I gave you the good gift of a smartphone today. Right today, you could have a smartphone. And you said, this is wonderful. I can't wait to go swimming and take my smartphone with me when I go swimming. I would say, well, now wait. That's not how the smartphone is designed to be used. In fact, you could do damage to your smartphone if you take it swimming. So you need to be really careful. The smartphone needs to be something that you pay attention to what the manufacturer said about how it ought to be used so it can keep functioning for you. But if you try to go swimming with your smartphone, you're going to go, oh, I messed up my smartphone. Now, if you mess up your smartphone, there's grace, right? We don't want to say you do permanent damage and now you can never have a smartphone again. But you just need to recognize this is something that is a good gift, but it's designed to be used in a certain way. And if you use it outside of that way, it won't work the way it's supposed to work, and you'll be unhappy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this especially goes back to things like social media.
Yeah, are your kids on social media?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what I wanted to find out.
My 12-year-old isn't, and there's reasons for that, but my 15-year-old is. So for me, a really important thing is to be on Instagram with my kids.
Right.
Right? Not so that I can track them, but so that I understand what's going on in their lives. I see who their friends are, what their friends post about. I'm friends with a lot of my daughter's friends on Instagram because they love my social media feed because it's weird and it's funny. And so they go on there and like laugh at the things we do together, right? What I'm doing is I'm participating in something that they love.
So you're entering their world.
I'm entering their world and I'm not condemning them for what they're doing on it. I tell this to every kid who I follow on Instagram or who follows me. If I see you do something stupid, I'm just going to call you out on it, right? I mean, you just know that. But I don't condemn her. What I do is I enter in and I have fun with her in it. And then we're able to talk about it. We're able to discuss it. I can see when her mood shifts, when she doesn't get all the likes that she would like to get.
And is that a conversation?
And I can talk about that, you know, and say, hey, I can just see this. You know, I mean, look, as parents, like, what are we talking about? We're talking about being clued into your kids' lives. I mean, this is just what you need to do. The reality is that social media isn't the problem. Sin's the problem, right? Social media isn't the enemy. Sin's the enemy. The devil's the enemy. Social media, things like video games that your kids play, where they, like, do group chats on that, that's the way kids hang out now. That's their friend group. That's the way they communicate. So be involved.
And I would add this as I read your book. I could see you as parents are involved. And number two, at the end of each chapter, I loved a note to dads, note to moms. Really helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, you're speaking to men, you're speaking to women. And I think it's so easy as a parent to almost disengage. We're almost afraid of what we'll find. So, you know, the great way to engage is disengage. It's terrible, but we do that. And I'll never forget as a young dad learning, I should be checking the computer, just even the history.
Yeah.
And I remember going down and looking at it and finding porn.
Yeah.
And going to Ann and saying, I found this on our computer.
Yeah.
And so we had an idea who it might be, the oldest, and we asked him and he said yes. And I'll never forget that day because I had always thought, what will my response be the day I discover this? It wasn't if. It was when. It's the world we live in. And so when he said it was him, I started weeping.
Yeah.
And it was because I've been there.
Yeah.
And I looked at him. I said, CJ, you don't know what box you just opened.
Yeah.
It is something that does not go away.
Right.
And it could be a struggle the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it started a conversation that's never ended.
Right.
For the last 30 years where we as father, son battle this area together. And so it was actually a good thing that we can travel together.
And here's a great teaching point for all of us as moms and dads. Are you ready for that day when?
Right.
Do you know what your conversation's going to be? Don't wait for it to happen to go, oh, now what do I say?
Right.
But think now, what do I want that conversation to look like and what should it be? Because I look back on my conversation with my son about that and go, I wish I'd done things differently.
Yeah.
I wish I'd said, I have to struggle with these same temptations rather than saying, okay, these are the consequences and you're grounded for this long and you got to memorize these verses.
Yeah. Right?
I just want to read because chapter 6 in your book is all about social media. It's comments and likes, I think is what you call it. Likes and comments.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And at the end, the talking points, Dave, that you were talking about, you say things like this. Social media is not necessarily good or bad. It's how we use it and what we do with it that makes it good or bad.
Yeah.
You say we got to find our identity and what God says about us instead of how many likes and comments we get from a post. affirm your kids for more than their physical appearance, because yeah. so much of what's going on social media is hot or not, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Ask your children if they enjoy social media and what they get out of it. Mm-hmm. Every emotional need we desire is fulfilled in what Christ has done for us.
Yeah.
And then justification will help your child find his or her settled self. They need to understand that their identity is not in what their peer group affirms or doesn't affirm on social media. It's in who they are in Christ.
Right. And that is a conversation, again, here's another one, a conversation you need to be having with your kids over and over again. What does Christ say about you? Because of Christ's work for you, what does God look at you and think? Mm-hmm. Right? You are hidden in Christ's work. And sharing that with your kids, even in the middle of their sin, like, I think a lot of times as parents, we like to use maybe the guilt they're feeling as a way to try and change their behavior. Free them from that. Give them what God has given you. Forgiveness of sins.
Yeah. And I think that there's a sense in which dads, we have a special place in representing like God the Father to our kids. Obviously, it's not a perfect analogy, but we have this special place where affirming our kids for things other than just what they look like is so important. Telling our daughters, like, honey, you are strong, and I notice that in you. Honey, you're so brave for doing that, and I notice that in you. And that's just a picture of the bravery that Christ has shown. Honey, you're a beautiful artist. Like, isn't that so great that in your artistry, you get to be like God in his creativity, and you get to show the world that. Affirming them in that really helps to decouple their humanity with what they look like.
Well, it's funny. I have a picture of that when one of our sons was 18. He's getting ready to go off to college, but it was spring. And I could tell, as you were saying, I know my kids, and I could tell he wasn't in a great place.
Yeah.
And he came into the bedroom and he was getting ready for bed. And I just said, hey, I just want you to know, you're amazing. Like, God is going to use you. You're a leader. You're passionate. When you speak, people listen to you.
Yeah.
And I can tell when you go somewhere, people want to follow you. And he's like, whatever, Mom, you know. And he left mm-hmm. the room and he came back and he said, I'm not that person. And he was crying. Mm. And I said, no, you are. That person. He goes, no, I'm not. I just got wasted. I partied last weekend and I got drunk for the first time. That's who I am, Mom.
Yeah.
I said, no, that's as I was trying to like hold myself together, like, what the heck?
You're like wanting to strangle him and encourage him at the same time.
Uh-huh, exactly. Uh-huh. But I did say, that's not who you are. That's what you did.
Right.
Right.
But I think it's easy. We need that as adults.
Absolutely.
We need reminders of this is who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He died for us. He loves us. And there's nothing we could do that would make him not love us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the great lesson for us here in this conversation we've had this week is we've got to, as parents, be intentional and strategic and purposeful. And we got to start young and we got to not quit. I mean, we may think, yeah, they're 15, they're 16, they don't want to hear about it. No, you got to keep having conversations. You got to keep pressing in. You got to keep asking questions. You got to keep talking about your own challenges and your own temptations. And you guys, Joel and Jessica, give us a blueprint for how we can do that in the book, Mom, Dad, What's Sex? And we've got the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to request your copy of the book. Or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY and order by phone. Again, our website is familylifetoday.com. By the way, I should mention this. Jessica is featured in the Art of Parenting video series. A lot of great input in that series from Jessica. You can order the Art of Parenting from us online at familylifetoday.com. The kit includes your copy of the movie Like Arrows, and it's great for use in small groups or church studies or just for you and your spouse to go through together. Look for information on the Art of Parenting small group series when you go to familylifetoday.com. And then, of course, we've got the Passport to Purity resource that we've designed for parents to help give you something that is interactive, something you can use to jumpstart conversations with your preteen on the issues of sexuality. Go to familylifetoday.com for information on all of these resources, or call if you have any questions. 1-800-FL-TODAY is the number. 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Well, a lot for us to kind of grapple with and digest today as we think about the important call as parents to teach our children about sex. And we've got the president of Family Life, David Robbins, with us again today.
Hey, Bob. Good to be here. You know, I think what Jessica and Joel have been exhorting us to this week is really the call to take God's truth to others in our family or homes around us. But it's really putting the glory of God on display for others to see it. It's an exhortation to families. At Family Life, we are not about providing great resources just for the sake of having good resources. And we're not about having great resources that can help families simply be happy and healthy, but ultimately isolated and self-absorbed, because that's not God's better story. And as they talked about today, it's about crafting a better story. We believe God has called us to help equip families to enter into His better story, a story where families know Him, find their identities and what He says about them, and who are seeking to help other families discover and live into that grander narrative of God's kingdom. One of the ways it starts is like the conversation today of helping families navigate the realities of what culture says about sex and finding our identity in Jesus. Or maybe it's not being held captive by social media like we discussed. But those are all means to an end. Ultimately, we want every family to thrive in participating in God's grander story of making much of Jesus. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of Family Life and pursuing this better story of building God's kingdom together.
Yeah, we appreciate those of you who partner with us in the work of this ministry. Thanks, David. And we hope you can join us back again tomorrow. We're going to talk about issues facing blended families. In fact, we're going to tell you about a brand new podcast that Family Life Today is putting together. Our friend Ron Deal has a new podcast called Family Life Blended. We'll tell you all about it and listen in together to a part of episode one tomorrow. So I hope you can be here for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.